Normally we have one of the kids ring the bell. You guys can't see it. I can see it. That was the biggest kid I've ever seen in my life ring the bell. That was Brother Rick that just rung the bell for us. Amen. Are you guys excited to be here? I'm telling you what, I am fired up in a good way. In a really good way. Man, God is so good. So we're going to get right into it. It's going to look a little bit different today because we got some things going on. Take these weird spectacles off here. So we're going to jump right into the announcements, okay? And we're going to have, actually, I don't think we have any testimonies. So then we're going to go into worship, and then we're going to lay hands on Ashlyn and Travis, and then we'll finish up worship and get into the good stuff that Pastor Dave has for us through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So what happens tonight? Thank you. I heard somebody from way back in the back. Church! What time? 6:30. Brother Jake is bringing the word. If you have missed out on Brother Jake ministering, bring yourself here. Please listen. It will bless you. I promise. It will bless you. Soul winning. Our soul winning team went out yesterday in Smyrna and saw 7 people give their lives to the Lord. All of heaven is rejoicing right now. Amen. That is awesome. I actually think I know originally there was supposed to be a group go out today in between services. I don't think that is happening now. There have been a few things come up, so we're going to hold off on that. So if you were planning on jumping in with the team and going, put that emotion aside for the next go. Amen. What do you guys know what we're doing for our December outreach? Oh, it was a little bit awkward. Yes, we're doing the parade. So Sudlersville is actually having a Christmas parade this year. And New Freedom is going to have a float. Who is excited about that? I'm excited about that. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We are part of the inaugural parade in Sudlersville. How much fun is that? So that being said, we are going to need some help with the float. So if anybody wants to help with the Christmas float, please see Pastor David. That would be a very good thing for you to do because we're going to need some help. This week is also Thanksgiving. That means we will not be having our fellowship meal at the Shorts. Ooh, I know. We all look forward to it. However, it is Thanksgiving. Miss Tammy and Mr. Rick are always gracious every single month to open up their home, but I don't think they want to open up their home for the fellowship meal and have Thanksgiving the next day. That is a lot to do. So we will pick that back up next month. We also have Ashlyn and Travis being prayed for. Forgive me, I'm going over all the announcements. Testimony. I have a small one. And then we're going to get into some worship. So have you ever had one of those days where you're just like, you wake up and you've just got expectation, right? I woke up like that Friday. I was so full of expectation. I was praying on the way to work, praying in the Spirit. A song, it flowed right into a song. I'm singing in the Spirit. I'm thanking God that it's almost as if, and if you know me for any length of time, Deer and I tend to find each other every so often. I'm literally thanking God. Like, this is amazing. I haven't even come close to a deer. 2 minutes later, I didn't even see the deer until he was right on top of me. Completely obliterated the front of my truck. Like, I got out and walked around, looked at the front, and every fluid that is in this thing is just pouring out. Like, are you serious right now? But I hear the Holy Spirit say, count it all joy when you fall into any type of trial. Because, check this, don't miss this, it presents an opportunity for great joy. So are you going to praise me, or are you going to look at what went wrong? And I was like, God, thank you. Thank you. And in that moment, he helped me to realize 4 years ago, I hit a deer in a work truck and the side airbag came out and hit me so hard in my head. It took me about 4 days to get my head straight. I had a concussion. I've never had that before. This deer hit me head on. I don't know how the airbags didn't go off other than Jesus. Because I should have been hit from the front, from the side like this. He demolished it. And God was like, you're okay. I've got you. Watch how I provide through this. I need you to persevere. So God's goodness in that moment took a situation where I wanted to get frustrated and get all fleshy and be like, how much more? Like, seriously, how much more? And he was like, don't worry about it. I've got you right here. And it's like, you know what? And it's laughing about it. I don't care. Yes, it's inconvenient, but it doesn't matter. I've still got Jesus. He's still got me. So I praise God for that. Amen. Now, who's excited to worship? Oh, Miss Kim's here. I didn't see her. Thank you, Pastor David. Come on up, Miss Kim.
I wasn't going to give this testimony until Pastor Joe gave his. Yesterday evening, I also had an encounter with a deer. And just like Pastor Joe, right before, I'm like singing in the spirit. All of a sudden, I see the deer. I go, ah, Jesus, bam. And I'm like, I didn't expect that. But the thing is, it was perfect peace. You know, my car got dented up. My side mirror, you know, is messed up. But I was praising the Lord because, for one, I'm alive. I was going, you know, 60 miles an hour. I'm alive, and I was, like, just praising the Lord. Thank you for my safety. Thank you, Jesus. And same with Pastor Joe that same day earlier. The same scripture came up. Consider it all joy when you come into various trials. And I'm like pumping it, and I'm saying, bam, yeah. I'm like going for it. And it happened. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to consider it all joy. And then I knew at that point, there was a message years ago that I heard a minister preach. I don't know football, but he, you know, used to coach football. And he talked about the goal line defense. And he said, a lot of times when the team is about to make a touchdown, they bring in, like, you know, the big guns, right? And I felt like Holy Spirit was saying, you're about to hit a breakthrough, and Satan doesn't like it. So start praising. And I'm, you know, at that point, I'm like, okay, Satan, that's all right. I declare that I'm going to get a new car paid for in Jesus' name. So there we go.
Amen. Breakthrough. Amen. Amen. Miss Kim pulled up and she's like, Pastor Joe, look at my car. I was like, what happened? She's like, a deer. I was like, can I hug you, please? I feel that. I feel that on a whole different level. But notice what's happening. Every time you start to make that upward, the enemy tries to come in. He tries to throw those darts. But we as the church have the ability to look at him, put up that shield of faith and go, no, that's a good try. I see what you're doing, but it doesn't work like that because my God has the ability. My God. So, now, who's ready to worship? I know I am. Amen. Let's stand to your feet and worship the Lord.
people. Can I see this down? Yes, Lord, let me shut up, go back. Shut up, go back. Go back. Shut up, go back. Shut up, go back. Shut up, go back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do shut up, go back. Come, you Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. And praise to Him. Father, I thank You. What a glorious day. We lift Your name high. Father, I thank You that You are already high and lifted up. But in our hearts, today we see You seated on the throne, Lord God. And we just honor You and worship You and praise You with all that's within us, Lord God. I thank You for breakthrough, Lord God, today. I thank You that we see a side of heaven that we've never seen before, Lord God. Let it be revealed to us here this day in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. I'm going to have the Lamb family come up. And the Boyles family come up. Hey, come on, Mama. Yeah, we'll bring the... Yeah, face the crowd. But we're just... You guys are just getting warmed up being the center of attention here. Amen. Get used to looking out amongst the people. Amen. I'll tell you, this is a wonderful time. If you don't know, Travis and Ashlyn, this is their last Sunday here because they are headed to Florida Friday or Saturday or Saturday. Headed to Florida Saturday to start class the first of the year down at River Bible Institute, down where Mason is. So he's going to have some friends come down and join the party with him. Amen. So as always, you know, it's bittersweet. I know how the Pastor Joe and Kelly feel. I kind of went through this like 3 months ago, so I get it. So it's easier for me. It's kind of bittersweet, but you got to realize something, that there's nothing sweeter than your kids answering the call of God. There's nothing sweeter besides them, you know, accepting the Lord, but then following after the Lord. Amen. It's just phenomenal. And kudos to you guys for stepping out. And I just want to share a little bit. I'll let you guys share in a sec. But I want to do more some of the spiritual side of things. I want to let you know that Pastor Lacey and I are both very proud of both of you. Very, very proud of both of you. There's been a lot happening in the last 4 to 6 months, to say the least. But that's just kicking things in gear because there's going to be a whole lot more happening in the next 4 to 6 months. Amen. But it's an honor and a privilege to be your pastor. It's an honor and a privilege that you served with us, been faithful here. And I believe the Lord gave me a word that He's kind of packing everything up that you got here, taking it with you, and then you're going to add to it. So the blessings upon blessings are going to keep happening in your life. You're going to see the hand of God all over you. He's given me a couple words, and I'll get to them specifically for you guys. So I know there's going to be great testimonies, there's going to be great growth, and things are going to spring forth like never before. Don't read my notes, Travis. I'll shy away from them.
You can't read that.
I do want to share some scriptures, though. I do want to share. We can have fun here because it is somber. It is serious. But it's the plan of God, and it's the will of God. And when anybody yields to the will of God, it's a powerful time. And the gates of hell cannot stop it. Nobody can stop it. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I just want to say, Matthew 20, verse 16 says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for answering the call of God. Because a lot of people hear the call, they hear God's voice, but they never take that next step to answer it. And it's a shame when people don't answer the call that God has on their life. So I'm saying you answered the call, get ready. you're gonna, he's going to give you some more words behind it. Amen. Isaiah 6:8 says this in New Living Translation. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger of this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And that's exactly what the both of you are doing. Here I am, send me. And we're coming to that time where we're sending you. But I want you to know that God is with you the whole time. When you leave here, you're not leaving here, but you are leaving here. Does that make sense? You're leaving here in the natural, but not in the spirit. But thank you for saying, here I am. Here I am. It's a real sacrifice, but the rewards are endless. And a new journey awaits you. And I'm excited to see what the Lord has for both of you. Because it's beyond what we can imagine. It really is. You're fulfilling God's will for your life. You found it. You're following it. And you're going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Amen. And when it comes to like commissioning and sending out, Acts 13:2 came to my spirit for Paul and Barnabas. It said, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work which I have called them. Some translations say, separate me unto Barnabas and Saul. So I want to tell you, there's a special work with your guys' name on it. And it's not anybody else's work but yours. So the word the Lord gave me that he wanted me to share with you is 3 points. Never look back, never draw back, and never listen to the naysayers. And I'm saying that because those things are going to come at you. You're going to have opportunity to draw back. You're going to have opportunity to look back and say, oh, this was comfortable back here. And you're definitely going to hear people say, well, I don't understand what you're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? This, that, and the other. I'm speaking that not as prophecy. I'm speaking that as a living reality to give you the heads up so you can just apply your faith to the word that the Lord gave you and keep the hand to the plow, because you will have people that will desire you to look back or pull back, draw back, and say things that need not to be said. But you have the purpose in your heart, both of you together. Amen. To say you're gonna stand on those three principles, that you're not gonna draw back, you're not gonna, no matter how hard things look, no matter what it looks like, there's a call of God on your life, and you're gonna fulfill it. Philippians 1:6 says, he who begun a good work in you will perform it. So the work is already started, church, and he's gonna perform it in and through you. Amen. Psalms 31:24 says this, so be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. So that's another word I have for you. Keep your hope in the Lord. Don't allow anything to get in the way, because that's the anchor that's going to keep you steady the whole time you're down there. And who knows what the Lord has? Whether you come back, whether you go in the mission field, who knows what the Lord has? None of us can sit here and say, we know exactly what the Lord's got for you. But we can say this, it's good. It's good. And the Lord is full of good things for you. So this is a step of faith on your part, and we're so glad you're doing it, and we support you 100%. And in the coming weeks, I didn't prepare for this, but we'll get their address, we'll figure out where they're staying, so we can sow. Amen. Because we want to sow into these young people as they go. Not that the guy can't provide for them, but they need to know that we support you guys 100%. Amen. So don't wait. Go get a job, Travis. Don't wait for seed to just come. But seed's coming in Jesus' name. So don't you worry. The hand of the Lord is upon you, and he's got both of you. Last scripture I wanted to share was John 20:21. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. So that's the word of the Lord for you guys, is peace be with you. And Jesus went through things, but he knew his assignment, and he completed his assignment. And God is sending you guys. He knows your assignment, and you'll complete your assignment by the power of God. Amen. So I'm gonna allow Pastor Joe or anyone in the family that would like to share.
I'm going to look at my wife for a second, even though I think I already know the answer. She's like, no, no, here, stand up here next to Mama. See, this is where the flesh wants to cry. And legitimately, it's bittersweet, but my spirit could not be more excited.
Amen.
For what's happening.
Amen.
So, Pastor David and Lacey have seen my family come from where we were, where I took my family when I was all messed up in the world, to where God has us now.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from a place of Joe being in control to allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do. And I heard very early on, I knew my daughter belonged to God. Even before I fully grasped it, I knew that she belonged to him. And I have watched him work in her life. And I have watched him do things that only he can do. Mm-hmm. He brought her a husband who is a God-fearing man. That is probably the biggest fear I had as dad. Like, she's going to start dating. No, I'm going to lock you up until you're 30. And then maybe you can date. But that's not what God had.
Yeah.
See, he already worked it out. The Lord told Abram in Genesis 12, go out from the land of your fathers. New Living Translation says, leave your relatives. Leave the land of your father. Mm-hmm. And go to a place I will show you. God has a place that only he can show you. I can't show you. And I know that doing what you're doing, it's a little bit nervous in the flesh and it's a little bit scary. But part of the reason what you're doing is such a big deal is because if you were to take the easy route, like Pastor David talked about, so many people get the call and they ignore it. To stay here would bring nothing but unnecessary struggle. It'd be like walking out every day. Sorry, I know it's ridiculous. It would be like walking around every day in a pair of wet socks. It just wouldn't be comfortable. It's not right. Mm-hmm. God has something for you to do, and you can't do it anymore under my roof. It's time for you to go out. Travis, it's time for you to step into your place as the leader of your family and do the things. God will speak to you everything that he needs for you to do. Everything.
Yep.
And Ashlyn will follow, and he'll speak things to you. But you do it together. You're his helpmate, Ashlyn. You'll always be my little girl, no matter where you're at. But now it's time for you to be the woman of God that he made you to be. It's time for your husband to be the man of God that he made him to be. You were always a phone call away. But we love you. The Lord has a mighty work, and I've known it for a long time. And I could not be more proud to watch you step into these things at 18 years old. You're literally like almost two full decades ahead of where I was. And I thank God for your faithfulness. Amen. And for what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I love you guys.
Braid? Well, I'm going to have them turn around, and I'm going to ask some ushers to come, because here we have an excellent usher that is leaving, so we are believing God for ushers to step up and be. Hallelujah. I want you guys to be in agreement as we pray. Just even as Paul spoke to Timothy, he laid hands on to stir the gift. And there's a gift within each of us that the Lord uses. I should say not a singular. Gifts within each of us. But there's also an anointing on a ministry, whatever ministry you're under, that DNA is a part of you as well, and you carry that. So as a pastor and pastors, there's an anointing here that we carry that is transferred into everyone that's a part. You guys out there even have it, whether you know it or not. So it's like a double blessing. It's the gifting and the calling that's on your life, and it's the gifting and the calling that's in the church that you're a part of, the body that you're a part of. So they're getting ready to get a triple blessing, because they're getting ready to get underneath a ministry that has an anointing as well. Amen. And as we release them, it's like luggage. They're going to take what they have here, but they're going to get more luggage. You're going to get more anointing, more power. But I want you to know something. There's a lot of power on the inside of both of you, more than you realize. I've held back. Now, I don't want to say held back, because I never want to say I held back. But the potential I see is supernatural. Supernatural. There's a tapping into that you guys are going to experience. And just as God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, you guys are anointed. Individually and corporately, you're anointed. Amen? Amen. And as we pray for you, I'm telling you, the fire of God's going to hit you. And it's going to touch you. And it's going to change you. But it's also going to put you at a place where you can receive. And the things of old are not going to creep back in. But the things of new are going to add to the good, if that makes sense. Every time we take a step, the Lord's going to be with you. And he's going to honor that step. And there's going to be anointing on that next step. Okay? So as you walk in the Lord and the calling that he has for you, there's going to be anointing and a power available every time you step. So that's why I said, don't stop moving forward. Don't draw back. Keep pressing, because each time you press, there's new wine for you. You hear what I'm saying? So as you go, even in your trip down there, the faith to pack and the faith to go, there's an anointing for that. There's anointing when you hit Florida. There's anointing when you hit your job, when you hit class. Every step you make, there's an anointing there, as long as God is the center of what you're doing. Amen. So I want you to lift your hands. I want you guys to be in agreement. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it seems heavy, says the Lord. But be of good cheer, because I have called you to this place. This day and this hour are ordained by me, says the Lord. You never have to fear a day in your life, says God, for I am with you in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the touch of heaven. The touch of heaven. The touch of heaven. I will protect you, says God. There is a fire shut up in your bones. And the Lord would say, this step, this move is what's going to ignite that fire. You've been wondering why you haven't seen what you've wanted to see. And the Lord would say, this is the door that is opening for the fire to fall and for you to see. Receive what God has for thee. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everything. Everything. Yes, Lord. Stir up the gift on the inside with this man of God. Stir it up, Lord. Set it on fire. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. The hand of leadership. We see the call. It's been there. And you know it. You respect it, you honor it, and you will continue to walk in it. It will expand and grow and mature. And as the Lord speaks, step into those areas. Obey quickly, says the Lord. Obey quickly. God is doing a quick work. I stir up the gift in the mighty name of Jesus. I stir up the gift in the mighty name of Jesus. Hashadaki, that your faith would grab a hold of all that God has for you. Not just what you see in the natural, but Father, I thank you for the calling on her life, Lord. By faith, she receives that calling. Thank you for the seed placed on the inside of her, Father God. Thank you that you're watering that seed and you'll bring that seed to flourishing in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and fire that is upon her life, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that you're pouring gas on that fire in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, you are the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I thank you for it now. Go in peace, says the Lord. Watch and see what I have for thee. Don't look at those around you to judge the level of what God has in you. I have made you and created you for such a time as this. You will look different than those around you. But be of good cheer, for I am with thee, says the Lord. I have anointed thee. Oh, Sharabo Kodishe, I have anointed thee. Libro dosere Kodishe, to minister to the multitude, to shake nations, to take ground. Oh, Sharakodishe, Libro Kodishe. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. You will see things that others can't see. You will know things by divine inspiration that others do not know. Keep it, ponder it in your heart, and step where he tells you to step. Go where he tells you to go, and do what he tells you to do. He is with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Put your hands together. Father, I thank you for this union, this covenant that's put together by you, Lord. Let nothing come against this covenant, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus, your protection, your safety, and your provision over this family, over this marriage, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Father God. I thank you you protect them and you carry them all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So be it. It's finished. It's done. This stage is complete. Do you have something you want to say?
No.
Okay. Okay. God hears your heart, Kelly. God hears your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, we better get back into worship. That's all I got to say. Well, that's what my flesh wants to do. But let me see what the Spirit wants to do. How about that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know there's a gap when you leave. There's a gap. The Lord's going to fill it. I'm not worried about it. But you guys are special in this place. And it's a big gap. Know that you're special. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's what the Lord wanted. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to enter into worship.
Actually, I'm going to kind of hijack just a little bit of the service. Because you guys already know what's been going on. So, this Sunday we are also recognizing Pastor Appreciation. So, we have to kind of slip in and fool the pastor because he picks up on everything. So, but right now, in this moment, there are three peculiar Christmas trees up here. And you might be saying to yourself, why are there Christmas trees? Because these trees, Pastor David, are for you and Pastor Lacey. And there's notes. I'm not talking about me. Don't worry about me. This is about you right now, brother. There's notes on there from every single person in this congregation that have been gathered, typed on a card, and put on there. So you know, so Pastor Lacey knows how much we love you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. New Living says it like this. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholeheartedly love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. This is not a matter of putting Pastor David and Pastor Lacey on a pedestal. But what we do today is we honor the work that they have poured in their entire life. From the time they were adults, the man was sitting in a combine for Pete's sake. He had his life set, and a word of the Lord came to leave the farm. I can honestly tell you right now, standing here, I've never been more grateful for one man's following and obedience of the word of God. Because I could take 3 hours and try to explain to you the impartation that he and Pastor Lacey have poured into my family. Just mine. But that would be selfish because I know every single person sitting in here can do the same exact thing. The impartation, the encouragement, the wisdom, the love that has been poured in. Scripture talks about the anointing flowing, the oil flowing down Aaron's beard. That's how the anointing works in this place. It starts at the top with Pastor David and Pastor Lacey. So any good thing that the Lord is doing through us, it's because Pastor David and Pastor Lacey have set the stage for that thing to flow. And I've watched it happen. They just prepared me for what was going to happen a month or two, 3 ago with my kids. I watched. I took notes. How did they handle that? And there are so many times that they lead by the, I don't want to say perfect, but the perfect example. It might not be perfect in the natural. But I've never seen two people so sold out for what God has and just led by that example. Don't have it all figured out, but he does. And we're just going to trust him. Amen. So, Pastor, we love you. More than you know, we love you. We love Pastor Lacey. I wish she was standing here to hear this. But we're recording, so she's going to hear it. Amen. We love you, Pastor Lacey. But thank you for everything that you do for this body, for the communities. Like, your reach, your influence in this place is powerful. And we love you. Now, Miss Kim, we can go back to worship. There'll be cookies after the service, too, by the way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to heaven. Glory to God. The victory is already yours. The battle has been won. Glory to God. By faith, enter into your place of victory in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to tell yourself you're victorious. Hallelujah. I am victorious in Christ. Praise God. I am victorious. I am an overcomer in Christ. Woo, glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord. We live in a place of victory. And you say, I'm not seeing the victory. Oh, you got to see it with your eyes, the spirit of your heart. You are victorious in Christ. Hallelujah. And once you see yourself there, then you are there. Once you see it, you are there. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we're victorious. I thank you. Every battle's been won. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands if they're not lifted already. Receive from heaven right now your victory. Your victory. Your victory. You are victorious, church. We already have won the battle. Jesus already paid the price. Sin is defeated. Thanks be to God who gave us the victory. He gave us the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this day today. This victorious day today. That we're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. Father, I thank you that we see ourselves victorious. I thank you that every weapon that comes against us will not prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that whatever we're dealing with, whatever thoughts are coming across our path, we have the victory over them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Can't thank you enough, Lord, for what you've done for us. The areas that we don't see even as of now, by faith we receive the victory. The battles in the future, the tests and the trials that come. Father, I thank you that we already have the victory in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Touch each and every person here today, Lord God, under the sound of my voice. Touch each and every person today under the sound of my voice. Do a miracle in their life. Today. A miracle in your life today. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that there's miracles with your name on them? Do you believe that there's a call on your life with your name on it? A purpose and a will that God has to prosper you and to give you a good journey in this life? Oh, yes, with your name on it, it's yours. It's been prepared before the foundation of the world. Oh, glory to God. And when you can see it and you know it's yours, you take it by faith. You take it by faith. So, Father, I thank you that there's a lot of receiving going on today in the name of Jesus. A lot of receiving going on today. Lord, we receive your engrafted word today. We receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we receive healing today. We receive provision today. We receive your love today and your peace and your joy today. Thank you, Lord, that we're receiving it by faith in the finished work of the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. If you're wondering why we take so long, sometimes you got to keep declaring and declaring till your faith catches up. Amen. Till you start seeing yourself in that place. And I want to encourage you. That's what meditation and confession is. If you're in need of something, you start speaking it, the life, the word of God over that situation. And you speak it till you get it on the inside and you're not thinking the other way. Amen. You fight for that thing. That is a battle that we face and that we fight. Amen. And I know I said every battle's won. It's won by faith. This world's already been overcome by faith. It is our faith. In John, 1 John tells us that. I believe it's 1 John. I think chapter 5. We overcome by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great day today. It is a phenomenal day today. And you say, well, why do you always say that? Because every day is a great day. And every day we should expect something from the Lord. And I'm not saying just one thing. But one thing from God is a phenomenal thing. You understand? But you can have 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. You can live in a day where just the hand of God and just revelation starts coming. You start seeing God move in your life. You get answers to questions. I'm believing today there's going to be some answers. There's somebody here today that's battling with not feeling good enough to be used by God. And I don't know if it's online or in here. I don't have thus saith the Lord to you, but I have it in my spirit. And this is what else I have in my spirit. Do you realize the three main writers of the Bible all killed people? Moses, David, and Paul. Think about that. And if you're thinking you can't be used by God, there's your answer. You're right in line to be used by God. Because I, not that I'm aware of, but I don't think anybody has killed someone in our congregation that I'm aware of. Did somebody just say, not yet? Jesus, Lord have mercy. Dude, I heard it too. And you won't, in Jesus' name. But I want to encourage that person that's discouraged. And speak life into that situation. Glory to God. You will be used by God. You can be used by God. And God is going to use you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. 2 Corinthians 9. We better keep moving. Lord have mercy. 2 Corinthians 9. I just want to share this scripture. This is part of my message today. I'm going to read over this scripture again through the service. But verse 12. I want you to realize something, that there's such power in giving. If we got a hold of the power that's in giving, it would transform our lives. Giving has such power behind it and anointing behind it because it's the heart of God. God is a giver. Amen. God gave his only begotten son. So giving has such power, and there's so many blessings from it. But I want to share two of them with you out of this verse and 2 Corinthians 12, or 2 Corinthians 9, excuse me, verse 12. It says, so two good things will result from the ministry of giving. Did you know giving's a ministry? It's not a one-time thing. Giving is something that becomes a lifestyle. It's a ministry. You have a ministry to give, a ministry to tithe, a ministry to sow alms, a ministry to give your love towards people, to help people, to pray for people. That's a ministry. Giving is a ministry that is ordained by God for every born-again believer. Every born-again believer has a ministry of giving. Amen. Beyond finances. Amen. You being here today, you have a ministry to serve and to give. Praise God. It's a gift on the inside of you. But Paul is specific here on these two good things will result from giving. So there is blessing. If I were to stand up here and say, just give, there's not any, you won't get anything out of it. There's no return on investment, but just give anyway. You know, just do what you're told to do, and you may not get anything in response, but do it anyway. No, that's not how God operates, does he? Listen what he says here. Two good things will result from the ministry of giving. This is in one scripture. There's many more than two. Everybody say many more. Many more blessings, amen, and promises and good things. But here he focuses on two. Everybody say two. Two. So you got to get a hold of this thing. Two is greater than one, right? I'm just making sure you're awake today. Two good things result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. Number one need that Paul's talking about here is the needs of the church will be met. So the giving blesses all those in the church. Amen. Not just your pastors, not just the property owners, not just the electric company. All right, not just the HVAC service company, not all just those places. All right, it blesses, it allows us to feed 125 people last week and see 44 salvations. It allows us to go and to witness in Smyrna and share the love of God with people. Amen. And get people saved. These things are all part of your giving to the church. Amen. There's so much that goes into your giving. And it blesses the church. The church is blessed by your giving. So it says, two good things will result from the ministry of giving. So every person that gave into New Freedom Church, these are yours. These are yours. Every single person here is blessed by the other ones that have given to this church. And I don't know anybody in this church that isn't a giver. Amen. So when you give, you're not only being blessed, but you're blessing every single one around you. Amen. Because some will fall on hard times. It's the way it is. I mean, there's things that will happen, like, you know, deer come from nowhere and just try to run into your vehicle. You know, things like that happen. Yeah, they don't try. They accomplish it. Anyway, let me keep moving forward. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of believers. Believers will have needs. It is a false gospel if you think and have been taught that once you get saved, you don't have to go through anything. No persecution, no struggle, nothing. No, believers are going to have needs. It's a fact. It's believers are going to have needs. But the great thing is all your needs are going to be met.
That's right.
Amen. So the church is designed to meet the needs of each other, to carry each other's burdens, to pray for each other, and to sow into each other. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a blessing in giving. That's number one, good thing. Number two, they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So when you give, it causes the recipient to give glory to God and thank God. Your giving literally can turn someone in a way that they denied God to all of a sudden, thanks be to God. Thank God you helped me out at this time. When we sowed food, sowed the word of God, sowed groceries into people's lives, amen, they're like, thank God. They give glory to God. They may not even know God and they're giving glory to God. You understand? Then the Holy Spirit, once you give glory to God, the Holy Spirit shows up. Yeah, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's working on them. Amen. Because your gift, the Bible said, makes room for you. And that word gift there means monetary. It's not talking about a spiritual gift. It's talking about a monetary, physical gift in that verse. Your gift makes room for you. So when you give, you're making room for all of heaven to come down and minister to that person. Oh, man, makes you want to give. Makes you want to give. And I'm not just talking about sharing the gospel. It makes you want to help somebody out that needs gas in their car or pay for their heating bill. Come on. We bypass this stuff waiting for some spiritual thing from heaven to fall on us. Amen. But you'll see the spiritual things fall on you when you step out and you give. I honestly believe the 44 salvations that we saw last week were contributed to the giving part ahead of time. That really plowed the ground for the opportunity to sow the word, hands down. And I'm not God. I'm not the one in charge of who gets saved and who doesn't. But the very fact of this scripture, the giving allows an expression for God to come down and reveal himself to people. It opens the heart of people. When you give to somebody, especially that's in need, it opens something in their heart for God to start ministering. And we don't give to get, but man, I'll give anywhere I can to see God start moving in somebody's life. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I guarantee you, young family, Lamb family, guess what? You're going to get a seed from my house. Amen. Because I'm believing God for great things in your life. And we're going to sow into you. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, why do you got to make that public? I don't really care. I'm not telling you the amount. I'm just telling you, I know that where I sow, I go.
That's right.
So what the Lord has for them, I want a piece of that pie. Amen. So I'm going to sow into that thing. Hey man, is this a message for them leaving? It wasn't meant to be, but if you feel to give to them, just give it to them. Amen. People online are thinking, what are you all talking about? We're talking about giving. Amen. And the ability to give. Because there's two distinct blessings right here in this verse as you give. And you know, we can go up in the verse and I'll share it later, but it's like God provides seed to the sower so he can bring blessing to the sower. Yeah. Like God literally gave you what you need to give, and when you give it, you get more.
That's right.
And it started with God and it ends with God, and you're just the middle of the sandwich with blessing on both ends. You see what I'm getting here? It's not even difficult. It's just you obeying what he says to do. And there's blessing. There's the sandwich blessing. The church gets blessed, and they will fully express their thanks to God. People start glorifying God because you give. Wow, this is phenomenal. So I want to get into the message today, but I'm going to have the ushers come up. If you're listening online and you're wondering what you should give, do what the Lord's telling you to do. Do exactly what the Lord's telling you to do. Because you're giving, and the seed in your hand, God asks you to be a good steward of it. Amen. And to do exactly what he tells you to do. There's seed that he puts in your hand that you need to sow. Sometimes there's seed that's put in your hand that's for you. Amen. But a lot of times it's to just go through you. Because he wants to give you more. Amen. Your planter, when you plant seed, that hopper will only hold so much. You got to plant what's in there to fill up again. You understand? I'm speaking to somebody. Amen. All of you know what a planter is. We live in the country. Amen. A 2-bushel, 3-bushel hopper. You put the seed in, the wheel or the vacuum pulls it out, and it gets planted in the ground, and you keep going down the field. Amen. But little do you know, if you don't have a sensor and you keep going and you don't get more seed in there, you ain't planting nothing. You're going through the motions and nothing's going in the ground. And then when it comes up, you're like, what in the world happened? There's a big skip. All right, God isn't going to allow that. But I'm telling you, when you sow, God's going to keep filling your hopper. Amen. I know that may not be the best terminology, but he's going to... Fill, that's what they call them. I can't change what they call them. He'll fill your hopper when you sow. Amen. Jesus. Pastor, why you do this to me? Ushers, please come up. Save us. Save me. If we could have some music, that'd be great. Praise God. Let me pray before you sow, though. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that as these children of yours sow seed today, Lord, I thank you for the blessing that will be upon the church. And I also thank you that it will open doors of people's hearts to receive the gospel, to receive the good news and have a life-changing experience with you, Lord. Father, we know by your word that it will not return void, and it will go and do exactly what you intended to do. So, Father, I thank you that as this seed this morning is sown in faith, Lord, I thank you that it's set in order to produce a harvest to give you all the glory and the praise. So, Lord, I just thank you right now in advance for the seed sown today in Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, ushers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good Lord. Lord, you're good. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Since I'm on the planting side of seed, it's like I see the Lord. Some of you will understand this, some of you may not. But the Lord is treating this seed. This seed is precious to the Lord. And it honors Him and it gives Him glory. And He protects this seed. And He multiplies this seed. And it's His desire for this seed to produce a 100-fold return. That's the kingdom of heaven. And He's treating this seed. And it's going to get planted. And it's going to produce. So I'm telling you, church, get ready. Get ready for a harvest from your seed that you're sowing today. Mark my words. Mark it down. There's a harvest coming in the mighty name of Jesus. 2025 is going to be great. Hallelujah. Because there's seed planted in 2024 that's going to produce in 2025. And Father, I thank You for a great harvest of not only souls, but healing and miracles in 2025. I feel it in my spirit. I see it. I see great moves of God based off of this seed sown here today. Glory to God. It's prime time. Hallelujah. It's prime time for a harvest, Lord. So, Father, I thank You that as we sow this seed, Lord, in faith, we're believing God for a supernatural increase in the lives of the sower, Lord. And, Father, I thank You for more seed coming in to sow and to sow and to sow and to never stop sowing, Lord God. I thank you that we have perpetual sowing and perpetual harvest in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Perpetual, nonstop harvest. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Lord, I just lift this time up to You. Glory to God. There's a lot of things happening today. God, You're doing a lot of things, and You're not done yet. And I thank You that You're moving in our midst. You're moving on behalf of Your people, Lord God. We've dealt with financial things, glory to God. We've dealt with sending people out. We've dealt with thanking the pastor in the midst of the service, glory to God. But Lord, what do You have now for Your people? What is the next stage, the next step of revelation and understanding that You have for? Father, I thank You for an impartation of revelation today. Hallelujah, that's going to transform lives. You're going to demonstrate Your word with signs following in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. You're going to demonstrate Your word with signs following in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank You in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, we're going to get right into it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I say that, get right into it. We're in it. We're already there. It's just seeing another picture, another frame of what God has for us today. Amen. Amen. And your life is that way too. You're not in and out of God. You're in God all the time. You're just seeing new things every day. You're just experiencing different aspects of who God is. You're getting different views of heaven. And it's amazing. Like, I always get this picture. And oh, I don't know, I'll share it anyway. I just got a new scope the other night, and it's infrared, and it's really awesome. And you shine a light, and nothing can see the infrared, but when you look through the scope, it looks like it's light out. And that's what I'm experiencing right now is that infrared, that light that goes that darkness can't contain, but you can see clearly into the realm of the spirit. You can see clearly into areas. And that's what I'm believing for, that there's a button, a power button, come on, that's going to get pushed today, that's going to allow you to see into realms you haven't seen before with clarity. Not just some funny image you can't tell what it is. This scope doesn't just look like, oh, it has four legs, I can't tell if it's an elephant or a fox. No, it's going to show me everything that animal presents. Amen. It's going to show me the size of it, the length of it, the distance of it. It's going to give me detail. And that's what I'm believing for you. There's a power button, and it's called heaven. And when you press it by faith, you start seeing things you haven't seen before. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting your IR light plugged in. That's infrared. All right. Amen. I could go on and on. I get up here, and you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Because they make a scope that's thermal. And I'm telling you, you can take it, and some things put off more heat than others. Some of you got more fire than others. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I can glance out there with the Holy Ghost thermal scope, and I can see some of you are like, "Woo, I'm on fire today." And some of you are like, "I'm chilly. I'm a little cold. I need a little more fire." You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to... He's going to smack you with the fire. Amen. And you're going to come on fire for God. And everything's going to see you. You won't even need a scope. You hear what I'm saying? When there is a fire burning, you feel the heat from it. You don't just see the smoke. You feel the heat. Amen. And that's what the Lord's doing. I feel it in my spirit. Oh, man, I'm all fired up right now. Man, is there smoke coming out of my head? Like, I feel it on the inside of me. Such a burning on the inside for the people of God. Set on fire, running. Running like smoke coming from your heels. Running in the fire of God. Just anointed by God to do great things. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. I feel like I'm going to burn up here. Amen. So, the message today. This is, Lord, you're going to have to bring this back around. The message, the title of the message, I should say, The Heart of Thanksgiving. The Heart of Thanksgiving. And it's funny because, not funny, but the Holy Spirit is pretty awesome. How scriptures have been brought up already today. We even sang some of the scriptures I'm going to bring up today. It's flowing in a place that you're going to see. Because the Holy Spirit, He'll be repetitive till you get it. He'll keep bringing scriptures up. Same scriptures to you. To show you something, to reveal His truth to you. So if you wake up and you have a scripture or a song, and there's a scripture in it, I encourage you, press into that scripture that day, because the Lord's got something in it that He wants you to have. Amen. And the Lord's got something today that He wants you to have, and it's the heart of thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is, this is beyond the surface level. Because when people think of thanksgiving, it's a reaction to what something happened that you're thankful for, so you react to it and you're gracious. So thanksgiving is always a reaction to something. You're thankful for something, right? So we celebrate Thanksgiving with our family. We cook turkey. We all sit down in fellowship and eat together, and we're thankful for what we have and what was provided. Amen? So you're thankful because of something. Well, I want to go a little deeper to find out what that something is besides a turkey. You understand what I mean? There's a heart to thanksgiving that you must tap into that's beyond the natural realm. There's a heart of God that we as believers should be thankful for that keeps us in a place of thanksgiving daily, no matter what the surface looks like, no matter what the world looks like, no matter what comes across our path. Thanksgiving is something that is on the inside of us based off of what Christ has done at the cross in the resurrection. And that's what I want you to see today. There is a heart to thanksgiving that's way beyond the surface. And if you're only thankful for surface things, you'll never tap in to the Holy Ghost and power that God has from the resurrection. You'll never tap into victory over sin till you start understanding and thankful for what Jesus did. And you say, this sounds like a Baptist message. It is a Baptist because it's a good one. Amen. That you can't beat the cross. You can't beat the blood. It's so much power in it, you can't deny it. So you got to join it. If you can't beat it, join it. Amen. Because it has more power than anything. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when you understand what the blood stands for and what it did for you and what it washed you from, you're thankful no matter what's happening around you. Amen. And the church needs to get to this place to understand what truly the heart of Thanksgiving is. I'm just doing this because everybody's got turkey on their mind. And America made Thanksgiving this week on the last Thursday of November. So everybody's thinking about shopping and cooking. So I'm just going to take what you're thinking about and put the Holy Ghost on it. Amen. Amen. Hey, here we go. So Thanksgiving, there's two main definitions for Thanksgiving in the Greek. And the first one is to be grateful in language, or to express it, like to say grace over something. Let me tell you something. I just found this out, revelation to me. To be thankful, the other definition, is the same definition of grace, which is charis. So the word charis and the word thanks are the same Greek word. Amen. And I'm going to touch on this because I talked about this like a month or two ago about grace and what grace is. So, but I want to preface it that there's two definitions of grace or of thanksgiving or thanks in the New Covenant, New Testament. So I'm only going to talk about one. So I need to explain the other so you don't get them mixed up. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. So the first one that I'm not going to get into is to be grateful in language. When you praise God, you're thanking Him. All right? It's an expression. It's a release of something. All right? But the one I'm talking about is charis. That's a joy and a happy on the inside of you. That's a thankful heart on the inside. It's not physically what you see. It's spiritually what's done on the inside of you. Because that's the root and the foundation of thankfulness. All right, because if you're only thankful for surface things or fleshly things, you're only thankful when things are good. But as believers, God has taken us to a different level that we're not on the surface. So we're not moved by when things are good or not good. We're thankful all the time. Amen. We're joyful all the time. And we express that joy. Amen. Even when you're going 60 and you annihilate a deer. What do? Get out and cry and get all mad and upset, worried about the insurance company? Or do you get out, thank God I didn't die? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? When you know that God has something, a new creative spirit on the inside of you, and you grab and you don't only gravitate to it, you live in that place, you're thankful no matter what. No matter what's going on around you. That's the heart of Thanksgiving that I want you to grab a hold of today. I want you to grab a hold, because life is not going to treat you that good all the time. Guaranteed, because there is a God of this world that is in operation, that is trying to accuse you and take you out. So there's things in this world that are going to come across your path to shipwreck your faith. To mess you up, to pull away from God, to back away from His Word, to back away from the Holy Ghost. And you got to be thankful for what Christ did in you, because that's what's going to carry you and propel you to deal with those situations. And the church should be thankful every day. Even if you're going through a physical battle, even if you're going through a mental battle, even if you're going through a spiritual battle, you can stay thankful in the midst of it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Always. Always. So Jesus did something for you. Amen. He gave you His grace. Thanksgiving is in you by God. So when you accepted Jesus Christ and you became a new creation, God's love, God's peace, God's joy, God's spirit, and thanksgiving all entered into your heart. You became a child of God, and the kingdom of God entered into your heart. The problem is, as believers, we have a tendency, we get everything we have need of, but then we pull back and resort to the old nature. And that's when thanksgiving and love and peace start going out the window, because we start operating in our flesh. But if we can stay pressed in to our born-again, spirit-filled nature and be led by the Spirit, thanksgiving will be who you are. You'll be a thankful person all the time. Even if somebody gives you a penny or you do something and they don't give you anything, you're still thankful to serve. You're still thankful to give. I'm telling you, this is counterculture. I'm speaking against the culture of this nation. They want things. Give me. God's kingdom is not give me. God's kingdom is, I'm going to give everything I have to you, Lord, because you gave everything to me. And if you take that line, you'll stay in thankfulness your whole life. You'll be thankful every day of your life. You won't live in a place of up and down. Thank you, Jesus. You'll see the good in every situation. Even if the preacher preaches a bad message, you'll still be thankful. You'll still be able to pull something out of it. Amen. Every situation you can pull God. God, he always makes an escape. And God is, he's our ever-present help in time of need. So God is always there, even if things around us are going haywire. God's always there. So when you stay thankful, you really stay in the presence of God, even in the midst of a situation. So this word charis in Strong's, and I mentioned this a lot the other month, is it's a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. So charis, that gratefulness, it affects the heart of man. It comes on the inside. It's a divine influence from heaven upon the heart of man and its reflection in life. How many of you know that a reflection or a mirror isn't the source of the power? Something has to come to reflect off of that mirror to go in the other direction or to be seen. The mirror has no power in and of itself. You are a reflector for God. You don't have power in and of yourself, but you can reflect the image of God and portray it on the world. And if you understand reflection really well, you'll realize that the power can come, and the way you were designed, you can focus it to make a great impact wherever it shines. You actually can increase the power of something by pointing it in the right direction and making it more defined. So when God comes and he ministers in you and you reflect that light out of you, you will impact the image of heaven on that area that you reflect to. That's what thanksgiving will do. That's what the grace of God will do. It's favor that comes from heaven that's reflected out of your heart, not your head, not your physical body, out of your heart. Amen. That's the key. That is a key I want you to understand today, is thanksgiving is of the heart. It's not of the head. It's not of just saying, well, when somebody gives me something or does something good, I'm going to thank them. You should. But what about when the enemy's coming at you, trying to take you out? You still got to keep your focus on God and thank God. Why? Because God didn't cause it. See, people that think God gives them sickness, they can't thank God. Oh, thank you, God, for giving me sickness. Are you kidding me? That's contrary to doctrine. That's contrary to the gospel. God is a giver of every good and perfect gift. They come down from heaven, from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. So that tells me God's a good God to give good gifts to his children. That sickness is not a good gift. Sickness isn't a gift at all. Have you ever received a bad gift? I'd rather get a bad gift than sickness. You understand what I'm saying? But you got to understand, everything from God is good. So when you understand that truth and it is rock solid in your doctrine, hey, you don't have to be moved off of that. God's good. Anything good, God. Anything bad, not God. Thank you. So I can stay in thanksgiving to God because I know he's not trying to take me out. He's not trying to give me sickness. He's not trying to hurt my family or take me out. God's not doing that. He's trying to move me forward. Amen. Multiply me. Lift me up. Build me up. Strengthen me. Help, be a man of God. Be the best husband out there. Be the best father out there. That's what he's trying to do. And anything trying to keep me from that, it's not God. And so when you decide that, shoot, you draw the line. You stay in thanksgiving. Hey, thank you, Lord. You wake up in the morning, you don't feel good. So, thank you, Lord. Now, you're not thanking him that you don't feel good, but you're thanking him that you're healed. Amen. And you're not going to live in that place. You draw the line. This is thanksgiving on the inside. It's not moved by the outside. It's an influence on your heart. Charis. Amen. And divine influence upon the heart that causes you to have an inner cheerfulness, an inner joy that the enemy can't take from you. There's one thing to have surface joy. That's called happiness. But when you have the joy of the Lord, nobody can take that from you. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Amen. You got to hold on to your joy. You got to hold on to your faith. You got to hold on to thanksgiving. Amen. It's a heart thing. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But before I get there, I want to share this with you. It's not a day or a time or an instance. The heart of thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's a heart posture with God. Amen. You know, this, I was thinking of titles for my message, and I threw this one out to my daughter. And she's like, oh, golly, that's corny, Dad. And I was like, yeah, it is corny. Then I got really meditating on it, and I think it's absolutely stupid, to be quite honest with you. I've said it before. People say it, and I'm not judging anybody. But this attitude of gratitude, and you start meditating on that with the word, and that's the dumbest phrase ever. An attitude, that means that's in your flesh. That's an attitude. You need an attitude adjustment to be thankful? No, you need a heart change to be thankful. So I'm sitting there I'm actually coming up with a title for the church that's unbiblical. An attitude of gratitude. And I know it's on coffee cups. It's everywhere. An attitude of gratitude. Yeah, but what if you got a bad attitude? Then you don't have gratitude. So you're like this. Because you need an attitude adjustment. Yeah. Ain't that right, Pastor?
Yeah.
Pastor doesn't have a problem. Amen. But we got to realize that gratitude and thanksgiving is deeper than our head and our flesh. If we're based off of our attitude, then golly day, if somebody does us wrong and we get an attitude, we're not going to be thankful. How are you going to love your enemies if you got an attitude? You're not, because you're not going deep enough. People, church, we got to go deeper. You're not just people. You're the church. Church, we got to go deeper. We got to get into the heart of the matter of things. Get down in the root of things. Pull out what's not of God and plant what's of God. And thanksgiving is one of those things that is a steadfast. It is like a macronutrient. It is like a main thing that the church and believers need in their lives. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I mean, it's a key component. Like, if you're not in thanksgiving, you're usually in offense, unforgiveness, or living in sin. If you're not thankful. Because it's a heart thing. So if your heart is not thankful, there's something in there keeping it from being thankful. Oh, yeah. Let's get a little bit deeper here. So if you're looking at a situation and you cannot see it through the eyes of God and be thankful to God, if you can't thank God in every situation, you got to ask yourself, what are you believing in that situation? Amen. Even in the heat of the moment, what comes out of your mouth, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we're not able to be thankful in every situation and just love on Jesus and love God and talk to Him first and foremost above everything else, we got to ask ourselves, what are we thinking on? What is vying our time? What is taking the place of thankfulness that we can't go to God in every situation? Yes, amen. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Hopefully you found it. I'm going to share some scriptures with you about thanks. And these are the scriptures that talk about charis, okay? Divine influence upon the heart. But remember something. With God, you must know what He's done to be thankful. You can only be thankful if you know something has been done for you. For instance, if I gave Pastor Joe $100, he saw it, I gave it to him, he received it, he thanked me for it. But if I had $100 and he didn't know I had it, he can't thank me for it because I didn't give it to him yet. But once it's given to him, he can be thankful for it. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So right there, if you know that as truth, you're thankful all the time because you already know it's been given to you. It's already been established. The work of the cross it is finished. What Jesus did is a done deal. So everything spiritual, everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything that pertains to the physical realm, everything that pertains to the spiritual realm, Jesus has already finished and done. So are you thankful? Oh, you should be, because everything's done. You can't, your thankfulness or unthankfulness isn't going to change what God's already established. The word is established. The end is already established. Amen. Whether you want to see the end come today, or whether you're believing for more souls and you're going soul winning, or you're reading prophecy and study, you can do everything. But you don't know when the day and the hour is going to be. It's up to God. Even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Exactly. He's waiting for the Father to tell him. And as soon as the Father releases him, boom, here he is. And the rapture takes place. Amen. Just that quick. Amen. So when we understand what has been done for us, and we know it's for us, we can be thankful in it. But you're thankful based off of what you know. All right. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But thanks be to God. This is amplified, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ which ascends to God, discernible both among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So Paul is saying here, thanks be to God. Why? Because he knew everything that he had to go through, Christ already paid for. He already knew it. So he could thank God. He said, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. If you know God is going to lead you to a place of triumph in every situation, you can thank him in every situation. Even if you don't understand it. Even if you can't see the whole picture. You can still say, from point A to point B, I know B has triumph. I'm going to thank you, Lord, the whole time till I get to B. That's right. Amen. That's where faith and thanksgiving and joy and peace in the kingdom and the power keep you in patience till you see B come to pass. Yeah. Amen. Because he knew he would get the victory there. Whether he was floating in the Mediterranean Sea, whether he was being whipped, whatever it was that Paul was going through, being stoned, he knew, even being physically stoned, he knew that triumph would come. And even if he didn't make it through the stoning and he died and went to heaven, he knew that what he was doing would be a testimony to those before him. Why do you think Stephen is the only one in Scripture, the first one stoned, the only one in Scripture that Jesus stood for in heaven when he died? Imagine that. What power is in that? And you think, well, Stephen died. What good is it? Jesus, the anointed one, literally rose up from his seat in heaven and stood for Stephen the martyr. Wow. I want Jesus to stand for me. Hey. Amen. Not that I'm going to go run out there and try to get martyred, but if that's what happens, that's what happens. Thanks be to God. I fulfilled my race. Amen. See, you got to get out of your head. Some of you are thinking, wow, I can't conceive that. I can't. That's because you're trying to figure it out. And it's going to limit you from conceiving the kingdom of God in other areas. You got to see it from your heart. See yourself, you're at A, know that there's triumph when you get to B. And you're like, well, how long is that going to be? I tell you, if you're in fear, it's going to take longer than what it needs to take. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just hit something. I just hit something there. Because your ability to believe gives you the power to get there quicker. For instance, if you don't believe me, faith. What is faith? What does faith do? Faith says, I have it before I see it. So if you're in fear, that means you don't have it. You can't see it. So if you can't see something, how do you know you're going to get it? Because you can't even see it. So I guarantee you, you're not going to get it in fear. But in faith, at least you know you're going to get it. So I'd rather know I'm going to get it. I'd rather know I'm going to heaven. I don't care when, but at least I know where I'm going. That's right. I know when I get to be, I'll be in eternity in heaven. Praise God. Amen. I can be thankful about that. Didn't Paul say that? Forgetting the past. The one thing that he declared. What was the one thing that he declared? Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, thank God I'm going to live in glory. Even if I hit a deer, even whatever happens. Sorry, I'm using you, brother. You opened the door, man. Amen. But no matter what takes place, no matter what takes place, we know Christ is in me. Christ is in you. Christ is in the church. You listen online. Christ is in you. There's glory waiting for you. Amen. There's a glorious place. There's a mansion in heaven waiting for you. Thanks be to God. That's what Paul's saying. Thanks be to God. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've died like 5 times. No, I'd made that part up. But yeah, he went through a lot. He went through a whole lot. He helped kill people. He went through all kinds of things. He persecuted the church. But now he can, thanks be to God. He knew that he had the release of what he used to live like and do and take on what God had for him. And that transformation allowed him to thank God in the midst of the struggles. So literally, he was reaping what he was sowing before. But he could still thank God in it. What do I mean by that? He was persecuting the church, and then all of a sudden he was the church being persecuted. And he took a lot on, but he gave a lot at the same time. And I want to say this, and this is why I kind of hesitated on moving forward. The deeper the sacrifice, the greater the thanks. I'll say that again if you're taking notes. The deeper the sacrifice, the greater the thanks. It'll hit you later on. Write it down. If it's not hitting you now, it'll hit you later on. Yeah. The deeper the sacrifice, the greater the thanks. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the deeper you press into God and lay your life down, the more thankful you are as God lifts you up. Yeah. You see God greater the more you release. The more you let go of this life and this world, the more you'll see God, the more you'll understand the kingdom of heaven, and the greater you'll serve him. There was a message done about obedience and reward. There it is. This goes right along with it. The deeper the sacrifice, the greater the thanks. Why did Jesus thank his Father all the time and only be about his Father's business? Because that's what he came for. I must do my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to take on sin, pay the ultimate price. He sacrificed his life to glorify his Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. So thanks be to God who always, what does always mean? Always, everywhere, every time, every way. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. The triumph and the leading have to be in Christ, not in anything else. This doesn't work for other religions. This doesn't work for the sinner. The only way you can truly be thankful and always triumph is in Christ. And through us spreads and makes evidence everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. Some translations say it this way, triumphant procession. It's literally showing a picture of a parade where fragrance, where things are being released, joy is being released, celebration, thanks be to God, like parading down the street. Exactly what Jesus did when he whipped the enemy. Yep. He made a show of them openly. Yep. That's what it said. You're just, by thanking God, you're literally spreading the fragrance of heaven all around you. I want you to go on a journey with me. Imagine that. Imagine wherever, it's like light just expelling wherever you go. You're having a parade and there's joy and there's laughter and there's fun and it's all exciting and everybody's is seeing what's taking place and people are really, they're literally smelling and experiencing the joy of heaven because you're thanking God. That's what Thanksgiving does. And when you start seeing it that way, my golly, you want to be around people that are thankful. You want to be, because we're all parade together. That's why New Freedom has such fun time together. It's a party. We're parading and glorifying God, thanking God for all he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. Amen. We're so thankful for what he's doing in this area, for the souls that are being saved, for lives that are being transformed. Amen. It's wonderful. And you keep thanking them, you can't help but be happy, and you share that Thanksgiving with other people. I don't want you to go to Thanksgiving this week down. The church should be the most thankful people out there. Amen. Truly. So we are a sweet fragrance of Christ which ascends to God, discernible both among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So this fragrance, Thanksgiving, speaks to every single human being. Yeah. Thanksgiving speaks in the church. Thanksgiving speaks on the street. I'm telling you, you have the joy of the Lord. We went to Smyrna, and man, we met some interesting people. Interesting people. Love Smyrna, but there's some interesting people in Smyrna. Believing in, they came from water, and the sun, and all kinds of different gods. They were weird. They were straight up weird in their doctrine and belief system. But we spoke with two ladies. One was on the phone, and we were just listening and talking, sharing the gospel. And all of a sudden, I felt we needed to close it down, because it was at the point where they decided what they didn't want what we had, and I didn't want what they had. So it was kind of like we can agree to disagree. And I was like, we're going to have to keep going, but thanks for your time. And the lady on the phone is like, she said this. She's like, I can tell that you were sent by God, and what you're doing is good. And I was like, after our conversation, how in the world can you say that? But she could sense the presence of God, but she didn't want the power of the name of Jesus. She believed in God as creation, but Jesus was not, she did not believe Jesus for what Jesus did as the Son of God. So every time we said God, we could be in agreement. But once we said Jesus, drastic separation. And I knew there's no way of bringing that back unless the Holy Spirit did something very quickly. But at the end, she could sense, she calls it like an aurora or whatever terminology they use. But she could tell that the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit ministering. But it was at that place that we didn't come battling, we didn't come arguing. We came in the joy of the Lord, and we just shared the love of God. We shared the gospel, and we laid it at their feet. And what they pick up, they pick up. We gave them to the Lord and went on. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you got to be able to do that, because if you're not thankful for even a hard time of ministry on the streets, and you get mad and you want to argue, what good is it do anybody? And it doesn't do God any good either. It doesn't give him the open door to minister, because they shut down. And they're not even, and they thanked us that we talked. They were thankful that we talked. So I'm thinking, Holy Ghost, if anybody can do it, you can minister to these people. So I give them to you and we go on. But I want to tell you, Thanksgiving allows the door to stay open, even when you leave. Hear me out. When you go to work and you have a joyful spirit and a thankful spirit for your job, it opens the door to communicate at your job. But if you're not, you close the door of opportunity. And not saying the Lord can't open it. He can open any door he wants to and close any door he wants to. But my golly, let's leave some open, so allow him to just walk through, or allow another man or woman of God to step in and walk through and take it the rest of the way. Amen. Amen. I know I'm speaking on a lot of different things here, but I want you to get it. Thanksgiving is in your heart. 2 Corinthians 8:16. New Living Translation. But thanks be to God, or thank God, he has given Titus the same enthusiasm, earnest zeal for you that I have. So Paul was thanking God that the fellow minister, Titus, had the same zeal he had. Amen. And I'm bringing this up. You say, why are you bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because when you are in agreement, when the church is in unity, amen, and has a zeal and a fire for God, it blesses each other. Yeah. When you come to church on Sunday, and if we had a greeter that's like, I wish I wasn't here. I wish you weren't here either. What is that going to do? That's going to do nothing. Yeah. That's going to close doors. Right. Amen. Right. Where people will not come back. Yeah. There's nothing I want there, says the Lord. All right, so you got to be able to be thankful and be in agreement. And Paul, Saul, and Titus, his ability to have enthusiasm and an earnest zeal for the gospel. to help people out. And that's the hard thing. I can't put zeal on people. Only the Holy Ghost can. I can't put a hunger and a desire. You know, you could put the best meal. I want to kind of use an example. I'll use myself so I don't call anybody else out. You could buy the best olives that money could buy, picked by hand, whatever. Pastor ain't going to eat them. I don't care how pretty they are, how expensive they are. No. You can lay the best thing out there, but if I say no, it's no. Same thing with zeal. Same thing with the fire of God. God has given everything to us. Everything, but yet some people say no. Some people don't have a zeal. Some people don't have a fire and a hunger. Man, I want to go win souls. I went with Colton yesterday. We only went for an hour, ministered to different four kids sitting around. We're on our knees praying with them. They all received the Lord. And I'm like, praise God. There's nothing else I'd rather do than help people find Jesus. Just a zeal. I'm like, we get through Thanksgiving, we going again, brother. We going after it. Amen. Anybody that wants to come. Why? There's a earnest zeal. But I can't lay my hands on you and say, get on fire. I mean, I can. But it's a decision that you got to receive the fire. You got to receive the zeal. So Paul was thankful that other men of God with him serving had the same zeal he did. Amen. And I'm so thankful there's ones in this church that have a zeal for souls, that have a zeal for the Holy Ghost, that have a zeal for the power of God. Thank you. Thank you. It makes my job easier. Amen. Hello. Yes. It makes my job. Zeal. Now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. He was thanking God. He was thanking God. So when I read that, he saw the desire in Titus. But faith can have a zeal. And faith can be thankful, too, that it's going to happen. Amen. For instance, thank you, Lord, the New Freedom Church is going to have a building in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God in advance because I see it and I know it's going to happen because there's things that the Lord has us to do that we need a bigger building. Yeah. Amen. For children, for ministry, for all types of different things. So I can thank God because I know it's His will. And His will is His word. And I know it's true. And I know it won't return void. And I'll just stand up and I'm going to thank Him every day. Till the building comes from A to B. We're still here, but we're going here. Thank you, Lord. We're going there. Amen. We're not going the other way. You don't go from A around to Z. Right? You go A, B, C this way. That's the way we're going. That's the way you're going in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 9. 10 through 15, amplify. Now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness and kindness and love. So Jesus is providing seed to the sower. So when you're a sower, you're going to have seed. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous, and this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So giving produces thanksgiving in other people. All right? From those who benefit. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service or offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, God's people, but it is also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Let me read that again. Also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. So the power of giving produces thanksgiving. I love that phrase. Somebody needs to make a shirt. The power of giving produces thanksgiving. So you can, oh Jesus, when you give, it'll produce thanksgiving in you. It'll produce thanksgiving in you. If you can't not be a giver and not be thankful. You have to be, if you are a giver, you're thankful. because you're giving in faith and you're trusting God. You're thankful to God because you know His Word says this and you're obedient to His Word. Do you see how that works? The equation is, if you're a giver, you're a thankful person. So if you're struggling with thanksgiving and being thankful, maybe, could be, possibly, not an absolute, but one area could be your giving. Because givers are thankful people. Amen. Because they know they're giving to help people, and they know the Lord is going to watch over and take care of them, so they're thankful. Lord, I thank you that I have seed to sow. I thank you that I can give that seed, and you're going to honor that seed, and you're going to bring back a harvest to me. So you become a thankful person. And the more you give, the more thankful you are. Why? Because you know more seed's coming to give. Yeah. So you keep giving because you know more seed's coming. Amen. You can't outgive God. Amen. So when you give, you're thankful. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give. That's talking about money. Just think about your words. Ooh. Just think about if you sow good words, sow love to people, go pray with people, honor people, respect people, you know, respect authority. You're sowing that, you're going to be thankful for the authority you have. Amen. God will honor that and He'll bless you in your giving. Ooh, this is powerful. Verse 13, because of this act of ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. Verse 14, and they also long for you while they pray on your behalf because of your surpassing measure of God's grace. If you're a giver, people start praying for you. People will pray for those that are givers. Amen. Verse 15. Now thanks be to God. Here we go. For His indescribable gift, which is precious beyond words. What is this indescribable gift? This indescribable gift is salvation. It is literally Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a grace to give. Jesus gave. That His indescribable gift from the Father was Jesus Christ. What a phenomenal truth here. God first gave a seed, and we reap salvation. We reap healing. We reap life. Hallelujah. Salvation from sin. We should be thankful. Just knowing that, if you cut out all the physical realm, cut out all the feelings, cut out finances, cut out health, and you just look at sin, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you just look at that point right there, you should be thankful all the days. We should be thankful all the days of our life. We have eternal life. Sin has been defeated. We have the victory over sin. Praise be to God who gives us the victory. Amen. Just that right there is enough to be thanking God every day that sin no longer has a power over you. But the only way to be thankful for it is to know it's for you. You see how this operates? The only way to be thankful in your heart is to have a heart for God. The only way to truly be thankful and have a heart of thanksgiving is to know what has been done on the inside of you. To know what Christ paid for you. That's the key. So when you talk to someone, and we talk to a person, they open the door and they literally said, I know I'm going to hell. Didn't he? It's true. You better believe it's true. I don't tell lies up here, brother. Yeah, and we're like, that doesn't have to be. And he shut the door. He didn't want anything that we had to do with it. And I thought, it broke my heart. It broke Colton's heart. It's like, man, we want to bust the door down and grab him by his collar and say, come alive in Jesus' name. Because I know that he doesn't really know what he's saying. He has no clue what he's saying. And it's hard to hear those things when you know how good your God is. Hey, isn't it difficult when you love Jesus and you know what Christ is, and then somebody uses your Father's name in vain? Somebody criticizes that Jesus or calls him and says, yeah, he's just a good person. Like that lady did, like, yeah, Jesus, he just, whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you don't know my Jesus. Yeah. And that's what causes you to for that fire to burn in you to share the gospel, is because people don't know the truth and they're not free. They're bound by the works of darkness. Last scripture, Victory over sin and death. Man, here we go. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul constantly is thanking God. Paul constantly has the victory. Paul, it doesn't say Paul had an easy path. It didn't say Paul had no struggles. It didn't say Paul was never going to be shipwrecked or stoned or beaten. But what does it say? Thanks be to God. Paul thanked God, and he was telling the Corinthians everything that he was thankful for when it came to sin, when it came to other men and women of God that served alongside of him. He was always thankful for a kingdom work. He was always believing God for the kingdom of heaven to be glorified and to be revealed, for Christ to be formed in people. Why could Paul continue on in the ministry God had for him in the midst of everything he went through? I gave you the key. The whole message was about it. Thanksgiving. He knew who his Savior was. He knew who his God was. And today, right now, I want you to ask yourself, do you know who your God is? You listening online, do you know who your God is? Because that's going to give you the ability to stand, to live, and to walk in victory all the days of your life. To stay in a place of thanksgiving. Your sacrifice now will determine your thanksgiving. Your ability to say yes to God will determine your thanksgiving. Your ability to yield and to surrender your own life will give you the ability to thank God. When the times get difficult, you'll know who your God is. You must know him in the power of his resurrection, in his sufferings that he endured. Philippians tells us that. Do you know him? Do you know him? And I know I'm speaking to the church. But do you know him in every area? There's places to go in God where we can understand and be thankful. That we may not. We can thank him for our salvation. But there's other areas we need to be thanking him for. And not allowing the pressures of the world to press in. Amen. Where we can stand in a place of faith knowing that thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ. Can you say that in every area? Can you say thanks be to God when you're getting smacked around by the enemy? Thanks be to God when your boss is saying, I'm going to fire you. Can you thank God in those moments? Can you thank God when you get an insurance or a hospital bill that's $100,000? And your insurance is not doing what it's supposed to do. Can you thank God when the doctor says, you have stage 4 cancer? I can't be more real than that because that's life. When people make fun of you and persecute you for your faith. You say, well, I've never been persecuted. What in the world are you doing? You will face persecution. The Bible tells us that. The moment you share Jesus, persecution's headed your way. I'm not prophesying that. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. You must be real with God. He'll be real with you. He'll meet you right where you are. This isn't a condemning message. This is a place of thanksgiving. This is a place of knowing what your God did for you, what he's done for you, and what he's going to continue to do for you all the days of your life. You can live in a place of thanksgiving to God. Grateful for what you have. Grateful for what you have. I think so much about other nations and what they go through for their faith. And people are so worried about just dumb stuff. Just natural things around them. And the Word of God tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. When you know everything that you have need of will be added unto you, you better be thanking God for something. Every need is met. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. When you know that, I know that every need I'll be supplied. Every single one. Thank you, Lord, you're going to supply my need. Even if I'm at A and don't think I have what I have need of, I know there's B over there. And I know God is so good. God is so good. I may think I know what B should look like, but God has a better B than what I even think. And he'll protect me that I don't do something stupid to try to get to be. Hey, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You think you know better, or you think you know best, and God's going to protect you from what you think. Some of you need some deliverance of thinking. Amen. One person got that. Amen. We're thinking like we know what life ought to be like. We're thinking that we know what our ministry should look like. Come on. Thinking that I know as a pastor everything that New Freedom ought to do and not do. If I make every decision based off of what I think, woo is right. Lord have mercy on this church. No. What does God's word say? What is the Holy Ghost telling you to do? That's where you need to be, because that's where Thanksgiving is. Because you know it's a good place. It's a place of protection. It's a place of provision. It's a place of overflow. It's a place of breakthrough. It's a place of love, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. That's God. That's the God we serve. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise be to God who gives us the victory in Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Hallelujah. Leads us in triumph. I'm telling you right now, when you start thanking God, you're going to see yourself triumphant. You're going to see yourself victorious. If you can play some music, thank you. You can see these things because your eyes are not on the thing, they're on Him. I didn't even get into it. But thankfulness is grateful for what's been done. And when you know what's been done for you, your life is totally different. When you know sin has been dealt with, when you know lack, when you know all your inabilities, everything that you face that feels like a negative, the Lord sees all that and knows all that. Father, I thank you that people will get a revelation of this heart of thankfulness, that it's beyond the surface. Hallelujah. That it's not the storm that you need to be looking at. It's God that you need to look at in the midst of the storm. See, thankfulness will cause you to speak to your storm. By the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. God is causing triumph to stir in your spirit right now. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. Those listening online, just lift your hands where you are, all around the world. There's triumph. And as you lift your hands, see yourself running your victory lap. See yourself overcoming the works of darkness, overcoming the trials and the tribulations, overcoming the temptations, overcoming the struggles. Just like the one that won the race, they lift their hands and they run around the track. That's how the Lord sees you. He sees you running in victory. He sees you running triumphantly. Over the affairs of this world. Whatever it is that you're facing, you lift your hands to God and you thank God that you have the victory over it. In Jesus' name. You got the victory over addiction. You got the victory over fornication or pornography. You got the victory. Lift up your hands. Lifting your hands does two things. It's a form of surrender, and it's a form of receiving. And it's both at the same time. When you lift your hands, you're surrendering of yourself, and you're opening up your heart to receive from heaven. In Jesus' name, whatever it is that you're struggling with, I command it to stop in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, in advance for the victory. I thank you that victory is in the atmosphere. Victory is in the hearts of your people, Lord. standing in victory, receiving Jesus, and standing on the Word of God. Whatever it is, you stand on the Word of God. If you do not know the Lord, if you do not know Jesus, and sin has a grip on you, you say, "Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I receive you now." Maybe you received the Lord and you've been walking with the Lord, but you fell away. You backed away. You became cold. Something happened in your life. You slipped into sin. You slipped into addiction. I'm telling you, there's a grace that's knocking on the door of your heart. That grace has the power to lift you out of that addiction and carry you to a place of healing and victory in Jesus' name. Maybe it's a financial woe. Maybe something came that you weren't expecting. Smacked you so hard you weren't even realizing where it came from. You didn't even see it coming. Oh, God is there. God is there. If any of those are speaking to your spirit, I want you to come forward for prayer. Because I know the Lord's going to touch His people. He does not share His word without a demonstration. Without a demonstration. For you listening online, I release the power of God in Jesus' name into your life. And I thank you that there's turnaround coming. I thank you for a great impartation of the power and the presence of God. Lord, I thank you even right now. The Word of God says, if you lack wisdom, ask. Some of you online are asking for wisdom in a situation. I thank you. I'm in agreement with your asking. I stand alongside of you right now for wisdom to come and for God's will to be done in your life. Now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you online. Bless you. We love you. For those that are here, if you would like prayer, please come forward. There's power in prayer. There's power in thanksgiving. And there's a touch that God has for you. You say, do I need to come up every week? That's between you and the Lord. It's totally between you and the Lord. If you feel you need to come up, come up. If the Lord is impressing on you for prayer, come forward. There's many types of prayer. It's not that you're out of faith to come forward. It's really that you're in faith that you come forward. Faith has action attached to it. Amen. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe in God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that each person that comes forward, Lord, I thank you that you are doing a great work. You're moving things around in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph, who gives us the victory. Who gives us the victory. Thank you, Lord, for victory. In Jesus' name, victory. Oh, over every.